We focus on the mission. We focus on the outcome. We focus on the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. So we have to stay focused on the Word of God.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Pastors George and Terry Pearsons with a special message for all Christians as they review the seven steps of what not to do when facing persecution.
We're Pastor George and Terry Pearsons. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast today. We're so thrilled that you've been with us all of this week.
And if they haven't, they can go onto our webpage and go to the information there. Tell you
exactly
how to go back and watch the broadcast from the rest of the week.
Exactly. And so, boy, this week has gone back fast, hasn't it?
Gone really quick.
It's really something.
Time flies when you're having fun around the Word.
It does. To
be with our friends and partners. We're so glad that you've allowed us to come into your home or wherever you are, allowing us to share the Word with you on some things that are very timely, very up-to-date.
Extremely.
It's amazing how up-to-date the Bible is.
Yeah.
It's never outdated. Yeah. It's amazing.
It is. And so we began at the first of the week talking about persecution. And I asked the question of the Lord, why in the world do they hate us? And what do we do about it? So all this week we've been learning, first of all, we learned about why do they hate us. And second, we've been learning, what do we do about it? And what we started on Tuesday talking about what not to do when facing persecution. And let me run through it very quickly with you once again. And these notes, all of these notes are available to you online, kcm.org. So if you'd like to do further study on this, you're welcome to go to the website, print this out, dig deep into it, and learn about how to rise above persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what we did. We've talked about so far, number one, what not to do when facing persecution. Don't take it personal. It's not about you. Number two.
It's about Jesus.
It's about Jesus. Number two, don't bite back. We are to love our enemies and pray for them that persecute us. Number three, don't forget your roots. Sink your roots in Him. Stay rooted, grounded in the Word of God. Number four, don't blow your cover. Stay in the secret place of the Most High. Number five, don't freak out. Don't fear when you're threatened. Number six, don't worry. Be happy. Rejoice when they insult you for His sake. And number seven is what I call, don't swerve from the Word. Now, that word swerve is a very interesting word, and I found it in the 119th Psalm in the 157th verse. It says, many are my persecutors and adversaries, yet I do not swerve from your testimonies.
What translation is that?
That's the Amplified translation.
Mm-hmm.
So David said, and that 119th Psalm, he was so focused in this, let me just read a couple of other scriptures from the 119th Psalm. And these are all amplified. Listen, this is the attitude that David had. Princes also sat and talked against me, but your servant meditated on your statutes. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I've not declined in my interest or turned aside from your law. The arrogant and godless have put together a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their hearts are as fat as grease. Their minds are dull and brutal, but I delight in your law. Let the proud be put to shame, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate on your precepts. Do you see what David is doing here?
The word.
The focus on the Word of God. Let me give you a couple of quotes. First of all, T.L. Osborne used to say this when he was facing persecution. He said, when criticized, evangelize. I love that. When criticized, evangelize.
He made a huge impact around the world, in India and Africa and many other nations and continents around the world. And so you know there was some criticism.
That's right.
People trying to do him harm. But when you're criticized, evangelize.
Evangelize. Oswald Smith, who is a close friend of Billy Graham, said this, Billy Graham has never slammed anybody or carried on a campaign publicly against his critics. He never bit back. He told me that he would never answer the critics. He would never try to strike back at them. They had the right to criticize if they wanted to. His job was to preach the gospel, and he was going to stay at his job, and he's never turned back. Focused.
Mm-hmm.
Focused. And this one here from...
And all the critics now look foolish for criticizing him.
For criticizing him.
They look foolish.
I love what your dad said. You know, your dad said this at this year's ministers' conference. He said, "I don't care who talks ugly about me." Can you hear him?
I can hear
him. "I can't tell you how much I don't care. Oh, but Brother Copeland, doesn't it bother you what other people believe about you?" "No, that's not my business. My business is what they believe about Jesus. What people believe about me has nothing to do with anything. I don't preach me. It's what people believe about Jesus. It's what people believe about the Word. It's what people believe about the blood. It's what people believe about the blessing. It's what people believe about the Holy Ghost. It's what people believe about the gifts of the Spirit. It's what people believe about the integrity of the written Word. That's my business. What people believe about me is not my business. What people believe about me is God's business. And I just roll all of that care over onto Him."
Amen. Roll the care.
Rolling the care of that over onto Him. I like this one. Before General Tommy Franks was marching onto Baghdad, Peter Jennings had an interview with him, and he said to him, "Do you ever get scared when you're going into something like this?" He says, "Yes, every military man does." But he said, "Focus has a way of overcoming anxiety."
I like that. So it'd be dependent on what you're focusing on.
Well, right. So, but what General Franks was focusing on was the mission, the victory, the mm-hmm. outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to focus on.
That's right, the mission.
We focus on the mission. We focus on the outcome. We focus on the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. So we have to stay focused on the Word of God. This is Proverbs 29:25 in the Message translation. It says, "The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God..."
Slow down.
"The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from all of that." And so, Terry, we've had great men. Oral Roberts is one.
Mm-hmm.
Who has stayed focused, even in the midst of the most horrendous, tremendous persecution
mm-hmm.
that a preacher can face. He stayed so focused and on task with what God had called him to do, even after opportunities. Tell a little bit about what we found about Brother Roberts.
Well, this is from a book
here.
From many years ago. It was talking about Oral Roberts going into Australia. It was in 1956. He took a 10,000-seat tent into Australia for crusades in Sydney and Melbourne. And he went into Sydney and had such an outpouring of the Spirit of God there, and just hundreds upon hundreds, in fact, even thousands of people came to the Lord and were healed. And they went on then to Melbourne. And when they got there, there was already trouble stirred. It just reminds me of several things that happened in Jesus' ministry, but mm-hmm. there was trouble stirring there, and a strike with the longshoremen, and so there was strife already in the air. Well, he brought his tent into that area, and the first night they had, the tent of 10,000 was filled, and there were several thousand people outside the tent waiting and looking and listening in, and he said that when he stepped onto the platform to preach, on the second night, he stepped on the platform to preach. There was a sudden wild and loud intrusion of the service by several hundred men from this longshoreman's strike. They filled the aisles shouting obscenities. Several of them rushed the stage and slapped him around. The policemen who were there just stood by with their hands folded, handicapped, because there was no law providing security for churches or religious activity. And they just stood there and watched it happen. He went on to say that somehow they got through the service. The third night it was even worse. The tent was only half full. And again, a gang rushed us, cursing the people and making fun of them, coming on the stage to spit on him and to hit him in the face, the chest, and the shoulders. The sponsoring pastors tried to restore order, but they failed. Once when they hustled me off stage, they handed me a glass of water only to find that there had been beer poured into it. Meanwhile, the media were carrying the news of the invasion on the crusade by the hooligans and did it in a way to aid them. The pastors gave names and addresses of people who had been genuinely healed, but the media refused to accept the people's testimonies. I'd heard of yellow journalism, but I had become its victim. Never had I been harassed like this by newspaper and radio announcers, been called such names, or been mocked for being a fraud. And the cry came out, Oral Roberts, get out of Australia. On the fourth night, in an attempt to stop all the attacks, the pastors asked one of the highest-ranking leaders of Melbourne to come and to interrogate him before the service. The tent was nearly full despite the threats of further violence. And this man, he was gracious but firm in questioning me before the audience as to my education, my acceptance in other nations. In other words, just grilled him, and even from the scripture about healing. Yeah. When he was through, the man turned to the crowd and practically echoed Pilate's words when he said of Jesus, I find no fault with this man. And the moment he finished saying that, the gang that had been waiting to rush the stage, they spit on him and they shook him to the roots of his composure. They broke up the service. I was quickly led out to the car, and suddenly I was stopped and rushed into another direction. And I asked, what's going on? What's wrong? They had seen the car in which I was to ride, and part of the gang was rocking it for the final time to turn it over, thinking I was in it. I broke loose to get there, for I knew Evelyn was in that car. No, the pastor said, when they see your wife in the car, they won't turn it over. But if you get in, we don't know what they will do to you. In the meantime, they went back to the pastor's house. Evelyn made it back safely. They found out that the insurance company was withdrawing support. The U.S. government withdrew their support. The pastor said, you've got to leave. And so they did what Jesus said to do. You know, there were times Jesus stood and preached, and he stood and preached, but then there comes a time that it's time to leave. And the Lord told us what to do when that happens. Shake the dust off your feet. And it says a storm of controversy came. As a result of that, the laws were changed. And there were many churches that were then able to preach the gospel freely and with protection against such that sort of thing. So the Lord turned it and made it where the gospel was able to be preached. But you know, it didn't stop Brother Roberts.
No, it didn't.
He came right back. That was, you know, 30 or 40, over 40 years ago, still preaching the gospel to this day, and accomplished much, much, much more, and made a way for, like, our ministry. We've been in Australia
over
25 years.
You know, Terry, Billy Graham went there the year after.
The year after, he sure did, and had a massive meeting there.
Had tremendous meetings, and he sent a telegram to Oral Roberts that meant so much to him to let him know that what great testimonies Billy Graham received from the meetings that Oral Roberts had when he was over there.
So God continued to work. And those other people, they not only missed out on the power of God, but they'll have to answer for that to the Lord, unless they repent and get that straightened out.
You know, Terry, we have to focus on our calling and what the Lord has for us to do in the same way that Jesus did. I was reading this account. Listen to this. This is in Mark 3. Jesus entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there that had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. The Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with the disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. I'm thinking right there, Terry, as Jesus was in that particular situation, the man with the withered hand, he had an opportunity. He had people around him all the time. This is what I've been reading in Scripture. This is what I've been seeing in the New Testament, especially the Gospel accounts. Jesus was not without his critics anywhere he went. He was with them everywhere.
They followed him everywhere.
They followed him all over the place.
And you know it was spirit-driven, evil spirit-driven, because no matter where he went, there would be another group waiting for him with the same attitude and the same approach. George, we see this in the ministry of the great men, with large worldwide ministries like Brother Roberts and Brother Graham and, mm-hmm. and others that have gone before us all the way back to the prophets. Jesus said, look at what they did to the prophets. Look at what, even with Adam, I mean, Abel and Cain.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also comes down on a very personal level. We are thinking back on a situation against a family member of ours going through tremendous personal persecution. It wasn't wide scale. It was mm-hmm. one, mm-hmm. just a small little group of people that was after our family member. And it was just draining the life out of him. You know, it was questioning himself and just the burden. You could see the darkness trying to move in and the oppression that was with it. But you know what? He had two things he had to do. One was get his eyes on the Word.
Yes.
And you know, you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You're not above missing it and making mistakes. And you have to repent and make sure you get right. But to constantly, you know, it makes me think of a typewriter, old typewriters, you know, and you type along and that carriage would go along and then you'd have to push it back in.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that. You have to constantly bring your focus back to the Word.
Yeah.
Bring your focus back to your mission. Your focus back to your calling. Your focus back, I'm walking in love. And sometimes you have to walk the floor saying, I am walking in love, and not be angry, and don't sin, and to keep your eyes on what your mission, and be about the Master's business and roll the care of that over on the Lord. And I remember going through that, and it was not a short time thing. It didn't turn around in a day or two or a week or two. It was actually several years. But through all of that, our family, and it was a personal situation, came out of it stronger, mm-hmm. came out of it more solid, with a greater anointing, with provision. Yeah. In every respect, we came out of it not even with the smell of smoke on us. And I thank God for that, because His Word delivered, but it was a job to do. We didn't give up, but that constant return to the Word. What, you know, we got up and read scriptures every morning. We took communion every day. We reminded one another. We called one another. We helped one another. What does the Bible say?
That's
what
good.
Does the Word
That's
say?
Good.
What does the Lord say? What am I supposed to do today? Walking it out. Till we had deliverance.
You know, if you are facing this kind of a situation today on a personal level, you know, we face it here as a ministry on a national level, but also you face that on a personal level. Perhaps you're a pastor that is dealing with some kind of persecution with your church, or people are saying horrible things about you or insulting you. Let's get our eyes back on the Word. Let's get our eyes back focused on Jesus. And in the same way that T.L. Osborne said, when criticized, evangelize. Reach out from within yourself to others. And I believe that is the key to this whole thing, staying focused on the Word of God and continuing to reach out. The design of persecution is to shut down the Word of God. It is to stop its effect from reaching out all over the world. And it ain't going to happen. Not going to take place. Because we are strong in the Lord, we're focused on Him, we're focused on His Word, and we aren't going to swerve from the Word. We're going to do the same thing that David did. We are going, even though they make insults against us, it is Your Word, O Lord, that we trust. Even though they say horrible things about You, it is the Word of God that you are going to stay focused on and keep your eyes on. That's what we're going to do. And that's where we have to stand. And as the church, the body of Christ, this is something that we have to mature in and grow up in and not get away from. Terry and I were reading just before the broadcast started today. We were reading this scripture from Jeremiah. And, of course, Jeremiah being called as a prophet, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is Jeremiah 1. And before you came out forth from thy womb, I sanctified thee. And Jeremiah said, but Lord, I'm a child, I can't speak. And the Lord said to him in verse 7, say not, I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command you, you will speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. And then it says, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And then it goes on to say, in verse 19, it says, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee."
Amen. I think about Isaiah 54, and the Lord said, there's no weapon. Well, verse 15, "They gather together and stir up strife, but it's not from me, saith the Lord." In verse 17, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." And this security, this triumph over opposition, is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification. Yeah. And he imparts that by the word of God.
Let's have some time of prayer, Terry. Let's pray over our partners and friends. Let's pray together over this. Why don't you go ahead and begin? We'll just pray in the Spirit here for a few moments.
Yes, I want you to just allow the word that we've been speaking to hook up with the prayer that we're praying as we go to the throne to stand on that word.
Yes, thank you.
It's not enough to just know what the word says. We have to take it up as the sword of the Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, in Jesus' name, how we appreciate you and love you.
Yes, Lord.
You are our banner.
You
are our shield. You are our help in a time of trouble. You're an ever-present help in time of trouble. You know what to do. You know what to do, Lord, so that we can be stable and strong in the midst of trial and persecution.
You
know what to do, Lord, to cause us to come out of this without the smell of smoke.
You
know what to do to cause us to come out bigger, better, stronger, with our testimony intact, with the glory of the Lord shining upon us. Oh, we thank you, Father. We ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to help turn our thoughts, to turn our attention, to turn our thinking onto you and to roll every care over on you, Lord Jesus, for you care for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Lord, we pray for those that persecute us.
We do, Lord.
We pray for those that say ugly things and that are vengeful and bitter and spiteful and that bring strife and controversy. That are disrespectful in what they say and what they do. Lord, that are inspired by darkness to stop and put a hold on the preaching of the gospel or on the testimony of our lives individually. Lord, we pray for those people. We ask for your help, Lord. We ask for you to open the eyes of their understanding. We ask, Lord, that they would be enlightened to know you and to know your ways. That's not your way. You are not the accuser of the brethren. You are not the accuser, Lord. You are the defender. You're the help. You're our hope. So I ask you to help them. Lord, whatever's provoking them and stirring them to strife,
thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, I speak to it in faith and tell
Lord.
It to leave them alone.
Yes, Father.
That they would be free to choose your way, Lord. Free to hear your voice.
You,
free to follow the voice of the good shepherd. A stranger's voice will not follow.
Thank
in the
you,
name
Father.
Of Jesus. And Lord, for every person that persists, Lord, for every person that refuses your extended hand of love and peace, Lord, you deal with them. You move them out of their place of influence in our lives. Move them out of their place where they're not harming the preaching of the gospel.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, we thank you. You're well
thank
able
you,
to
Jesus.
Handle every situation
praise
from small to great. We thank you for it in Jesus'
thank you,
name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bless the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the name. I was looking for that word that I read earlier in the week. The increase of persecution is coming.
Yeah, he said that.
But as we rise up and we take our place and we follow the direction of the word, it's not going to have an effect on us. It will be a slight inconvenience, and there will be more people swept into the kingdom of God during this day and during this hour than we've ever seen before. There will be a greater boldness to preach the gospel. There'll be a greater boldness from this ministry and other ministries to preach the uncompromised word of faith, even in the midst of the attacks. And there will be people who will begin to recognize the necessity of the church and why the church is here, that we are a bright light in a dark place. And there will be people that will wake up and they'll see it and they'll come to realize it. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Amen and amen. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Jump in the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location. Come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. With Super Kid Academy and 1440, there's a place for the whole family. Call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
It's offering day here on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's look in our Bibles to Philippians, the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4. And Terry, every time I think about receiving the offering on this broadcast, this scripture comes to my mind. And this scripture really is the definitive, I believe, scripture for Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland Ministries and our church and how we feel about you and our giving and receiving. And it says here in verse 15, "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. I have all, I abound, I'm full." And it goes on to say, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Terry, that verse, read that verse in verse 17 from the Amplified. What does that say?
"Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account." That really is Dad's heart. You know, when he writes his partner letter, we've worked with him actually on those letters for years. In other words, getting them produced and out and so forth. He writes them completely himself. But I have known of times when he said the thought crossed his mind while he was writing the letter of what money it might bring in, and he wad it up and throw it away. Even if what he said was true and right and from the Lord, he will not allow himself to inject anything for himself into that letter. It's all about you. And so as you give, that's the kind of faith that we're extending towards you and for God to be a blessing in your life.
Praise God. Next week, Sister Gloria is going to be on the broadcast, Healing School. Come and receive your healing from the Lord. We've so enjoyed being with you this week.
I believe that your offering, as you send it in this week, it's blessed abundantly.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus, you sow it in faith. Hallelujah, and do it in the devil's face. Glory to God.
Hey, I've enjoyed doing this with you. Why don't we do it again sometime?
Do it again sometime.
And remember this, we love you, God loves you, and
Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.